Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talking Sports on Harbor Avenue, the Thursday edition with Harv Aronson. In this podcast, I'll be focusing on other sports other than football, which is what we've been talking about in the last episodes. So as a big MMA fan, that will be the first discussion tonight. And the big story of this week is the return of John Bones Jones. That's right, John Jones is coming back, and he did not serve his full suspension. Thanks to the United States Anti-Doping Agency, they've allowed him to return. It will be the end of October that he's eligible to fight again in the octagon. And this suspension started in July of last year, 2017. So he served just a little over a year of a suspension that should have been much longer. And so I say that he's probably going to be shadowing Daniel Cormier. But Cormier wants no part of this. The two have already fought twice. Cormier lost twice. Last time he got knocked out with a leg kick. And what Cormier said recently when asked about the return of John Jones, he said, "I'm the UFC double champion, right? I have bosses in the back, and I'm talking about this because I have to move past it. I went about my business. I went and won another title. People get excited about the prospect of us fighting again, but I've got a fight with Brock Lesnar. Why would I look back? Why would I look back to Jones now when I've got a fight? Obviously, as a competitor, I want to fight the guy that has beat me twice, but I've got a fight. This is a bigger fight. I've got a bigger fight with Brock Lesnar. Why should I go back?" Well, what that tells me is he doesn't want to go back because he knows John Jones has his number. And I don't care what you think of Daniel Cormier. I don't ever see him beating John Jones. John Jones is a great fighter. It's unfortunate that he has turned to cheating, but when he is clean, he is probably the best fighter the UFC has ever had. And as far as fighting Brock Lesnar, if you saw the Stipe Miocic fight when Cormier won the title, that was very questionable and it was very, very mysterious about why Brock Lesnar would show up at the arena at this fight, knowing that he may be in line for a title shot. It's been said by some that Stipe was not marketable and Daniel Cormier was more marketable character. It just all smelled really bad, and especially given the confrontation that took place in the octagon following it, it felt very WWE-like. So it's all very fishy, but John Jones will get back in the octagon. You can count on that. And some of fighters around the UFC and MMA, including some writers, have spoken out about what they think of John Jones' return. And I'll give you a few examples. Khabib, who's got a big fight with Conor McGregor coming up, said, "Now I understand why the USADA is number one bullshit." So he said, "It's too much politics." Curtis Blaydes, a heavyweight fighter, said, "No shade to JJ, but no one is surprised by this arbitrary decision. USADA is steadily losing respect in the fight community to the point of questioning why they even exist." And I get his point because there are fighters that have been busted for PEDs that serve much longer suspensions. If you look at Nick Diaz, who was suspended because just of use of marijuana, which obviously is illegal, but nothing compared to what some of these other guys do, he still has not returned. The writer said, "It feels like it's worth noting that John Jones has taken both of his anti-doping cases to arbitration. Both times, the arbitration body made a point to state within its final decision he was not trying to cheat." Well, we all know he was trying to cheat. He knew what he was doing, even though his denial is there. But he knew what he was doing. It was cheating. Just like any other sport, when you take a PED, it's cheating. But he does have that talent. He is a great fighter, and if he can stay clean, he will get back in there, and I'm sure he will win his title back one day. Filthy Tom Lawler, another fighter, said, "You ever hear people say MMA is fake or UFC is fixed? This is John Jones is what they mean. It's not the outcomes, but the idea of the sport itself that is fixed. Money rules all, and what a joke." And Lawler's correct. And it's not just UFC. It's not just MMA. All sports, the money rules today. Unfortunately, it's all about business these days. How about Manny Gambura, a former fighter? He said, I guess UFC 230 has a main event now, John Jones versus Alexander Gustafsson. Well, Gustafsson wanted this rematch badly, and he may get it now. Those two once fought before for the title, very close fight. Many people thought Gustafsson won, but Jones got the decision. As far as John Jones himself, his statement coming back, he said, it's difficult to express myself at this moment, but I can definitely say my heart is filled with gratitude and appreciation. I want to thank all of you who have stood by me during the toughest stretch of my life. It has meant the world to me and always will. It's time to shift the focus front and center to the road ahead. Greatness is what I'm chasing, and the path to reclaiming my throne is now officially open. Comeback season begins now. So light heavyweight division, beware, because he's coming back. As far as on the MMA and UFC, I've always talked about how the UFC is just so messed up. Dana White's the one cause to blame. While he's brought it to where it is now, he's also its worst enemy. He turned a blind eye to the indiscretions of former player Greg Hardy, allowing the Dallas Cowboy and Carolina Panther linebacker to fight in what White called Tuesday Night Contender Series. Both fights that Hardy was in, he won by KO. And if you didn't see those fights, I watched both of them. The guy has no talent in MMA. He just simply has no talent. He comes in there wailing, just striking. That's how he got those two guys out of there, just by striking. He knows nothing about MMA. But while he was waiting to see if Dana White was going to sign him to a contract, he's not waiting. His patience has run out. And Greg Hardy is going to fight in something called Extreme Fight 352, which is a week from this Saturday, and he will fight somebody named Ray Jones. But there's a lot of other UFC fighters that have gotten fed up with Dana White's antics, and they've bolted, most of them, for Bellator. And Gegard Mousasi is one example. A week from Saturday, he is actually the current champion at middleweight, and he's going to take on another former UFC fighter, Rory McDonald. Should be a fantastic fight. Both fighters are very good. Came out with a statement about what he thinks of the UFC, and this is what he said. He said, I feel the UFC is declining because they're putting on bad cards. The main events are not that intriguing. We have a lot of big names fighting now in Bellator. You have Quentin Jackson versus Wanderlei Silva. That's a super fight on its own. Obviously, Lyoto Machida is now here. Ryan Bader. You have Matt Mitrione. You have so many big names. I think because of my long career, I know where I should be, and I'm taking a very big chance to get to fight for the big fights. So some of the guys that moved over from UFC, there are some big names. Ryan Bader, for example. Stefan Bonner, I don't know if he's still fighting, but he's listed on their lineup. And if you can believe he's still fighting, he was the original top finalist. Mirko Krokop, Phil Davis, John Fitch, Fedor's over there, Royce Gracie. Some of these guys may be retired, but they are still listed on the Bellator lineup. Benson Henderson, Roger Huerta, Rampage Jackson, Chuck Congo, Lorenz Larkin, Valerie Letourneau, Michael McDonald, Frank Mir, Norman Park, Ken Shamrock, and I'm pretty sure he's not fighting anymore. Sam Cecilia, Wanderlei Silva, and Josh Thompson. So it's a shame that the Bellator can't overtake the UFC because they run their sport pretty well. And the UFC, though, they're the kings of the MMA, thanks to Dana White, but he just can't get it running like a professional league. So while we're on the topic of fight sports, last weekend was a big weekend for boxing. It was the rematch of Triple G versus Canelo Alvarez. The first time around, these two guys fought to a draw, but it was controversial. Many, many, many people thought Triple G had won that fight, but it was ruled a draw. One judge had a way off on the scorecard, a disparity that didn't even match the other two cards that were a draw. So they fought again. And in this fight, Triple G seemed to have won again, but this time around there was a decision and it went in favor of Canelo. So he's the new champion. He gives Triple G his first loss of his career. And they're already talking rematch. So it makes you wonder a little bit about the judging there, whether they're thinking big money. And Teddy Atlas, who's a famous boxing person, came out and said this, in fact, is all about the money and promoters. And there is controversy within that, Atlas said, and there's politics being played. And it really kind of stinks, which is for something that used to be a really good sport. And there's just no big names left, and there's just too much controversy. For the record, in that fight. Glenn Feldman, a judge, had it 114-114. Steve Weisfeld put it in the hands of Canelo at 115-113. And Dave Moretti did the same, 115-113. But the third fight said to be happening as of December. And thing that Triple G had said prior to this fight is he didn't want to leave it in the hands of the judges. Well, that's exactly what happened. He couldn't get Canelo out of there. And when you're a champion and it goes the distance, most times they'll give it to the champion, but you just never want to take that chance. And that goes for MMA as well. You just don't want to leave a fight in the hands of the judges because you just never know. One of the things that bothered me last Saturday about this fight was the announcers started comparing Triple G and Canelo to some of the great fighters from the 70s when I was really watching boxing and grew up. And they were bringing up the names Marvin Hagler, Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Thomas Hearns. And I just about lost my lunch watching this broadcast. I said, you've got to be kidding. Any of these fighters, those ones I just mentioned in their prime, would have absolutely destroyed either one of those fighters last Saturday. As best as they can be, they would still have gotten destroyed within five rounds. To me, that's a joke to make that comparison. So now let's just move over to the final black eye of the weekend for fighting sports, which happened in the UFC. It's Herb Dean. And if you've watched UFC, you'll know that Herb Dean has a terrible reputation of allowing fights to go way too long. So on Saturday night, last Saturday, it was Khalid Mirziyev of Russia fighting CB Dolloway. He didn't get past two rounds. But at the end of the second round, Dolloway was taking a terrible beating, not defending himself, trying to cover up, and Herb Dean standing over and telling him, he better fight back, or he's going to stop the fight. Well, it got to the end of the round, and Dolloway couldn't even get up on his feet, and Dean walks over, leans over, and says, you better get up, I'm going to stop the fight. Now, what right does he have to go tell a fighter that he has to get up? You better get up. Well, Dean has not served any repercussions from this yet, except for catching a lot of flack on social media about letting this fight go on too long. And it was terrible. If you saw the video, it's just an utter disgrace. I've never witnessed anything like that. And here's a little history lesson to go with this incident. Mario Yamasaki, who used to be a referee in UFC, was fired by Dana White because he let a fight between two women go on too long. And Dana White gave him a hard time about that and said that Mario didn't protect the losing fighter. But meanwhile, he gets fired, and Herb Dean, as far as we know, still has a job. So that's that for the fight sports topics for tonight. And as I do on my website every day, I give you a little history on things that happened on that day on my website. So today is September 20th. We're going to take a little look back on what took place in history of sports on September 20th. We'll begin in 1907, where Fern Pirates, the team I root for, they had their very first no-hitter, and it was thrown by Nick Maddox, and he beat a team called the Brooklyn Superbugs, and he won that game 2-1. On September 20th, 1973, the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, he announced his retirement on this day in 1973, and at the end of the 1973 season, he called it quits. In 1933, for you Pittsburgh Steelers fans like myself, this is the day that they had their very first professional game. And then at that time, they were known as the Pirates, just like the baseball team. It wasn't until years later they changed over to the Steelers. But on September 20th, 1933, the then Pittsburgh Pirates lost to the New York Giants for their first game ever, 23-2. In 1951, Major League Baseball got itself a new commissioner. That was Ford Frick, named as commissioner on September 20th, 1951. Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks, he crushed his fifth Grand Slam in 1955 on this day, and that was a new Major League record, five Grand Slams in one season. 1969 is 62 years later from Nick Maddox's no-hitter that Bob Moose, the late Bob Moose, and tragically he died in a car crash. But in 1969, Bob Moose for the Pittsburgh Pirates beat the New York Mets 4-0 in their stadium and threw a no-hitter. 1973, for those of you who are tennis fans, you may remember this. I remember it, a nationally televised event in the Houston Astrodome. It was the Battle of the Sexes as Bobby Riggs challenged Billie Jean King to a tennis match. The winner got $100,000, and the winner was Billie Jean King as she beat Bobby Riggs 6-4, 6-3, and 6-3. And they said that 50 million fans tuned in to watch that event. In 1980, on September 20th, at Yankee Stadium, the Yankees dedicated a plaque to the late Thurman Munson killed in a plane crash. In 1987, Sweetness, Walter Payton, the greatest running back I've ever seen, he broke Jim Brown's National Football League record for touchdowns, and he had number 107 on this day in 1987, breaking Brown's record. In 1993, also in the NFL, San Diego Chargers had a kicker by the name of John Carney. He hit 6 field goals in that one game on September 20th, 1993, and that made it 29 straight games of making at least one field goal, which is and was the NFL record. In 1998, the great Cal Ripken Jr. of the Baltimore Orioles, after breaking Lou Gehrig's consecutive game streak and extended it way beyond the record, he finally took himself out of a game. And that was 2,632 straight games for a streak that began on May 20th, 1982. And finally for today, I'm going to give you a little bit of what I call the stupidity of the day. And I'd like to quote Martin Luther King, who said, "Nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity." Well, we've got a guy by the name of Lynn Redden, a superintendent in Houston at a school district there, and he's a big Houston Texans fan. So while watching the final moments of last Sunday's Texans loss to the Tennessee Titans, Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson apparently held on to the football a little too long on the game's final play. And so this Lynn Redden got very angry and went out on Facebook, posted a little note that he thought was private. Ended up it was a comment that went on a story that was actually public. What Redden said was, "That may have been the most inept quarterback decision I've seen in the NFL. When you need precision decision-making, you can't count on a black quarterback. It doesn't get any more stupid and ignorant than that, folks." And Deshaun Watson, who was the focal point of that comment, he said, "This is everyday life, I guess. I guess I'm all about love, so I don't focus on none of that. I love all people." Well, we'll see if Redden loses his job over this. He tried to apologize. He tried to say that he thought it was a private message to a friend. But my take on this is, no matter if it's a private message or not, you know what you're typing when you type these things out. He knew what he was saying. It was ignorant. It was stupid. And so for that, he is my loser of the day. So for the next podcast, it will be on Saturday. It's going to be my Pittsburgh Steelers preview as they travel to Tampa, Florida to take on the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. Hopefully the Steelers will get things back together. Just a real short football note, Mike Tomlin met with Antonio Brown, who had left the locker room after Sunday's loss to Kansas City, and also had that face-to-face discussion with Randy Fichtner that was not very nice, and then he did not report to practice on Monday. Tomlin says he's going to face discipline. That discipline has not been made public. The discipline probably is that conversation. It's pretty ridiculous. Mike Tomlin should have disciplined him, suspended for a game. He's got to send a message. He has failed to do that in the past. He failed to do it this week. So on Saturday, I will give you my preview for this game with the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. On my website, you can find a new Facebook page I've created for my website. So take a visit there and check it out. Thursday Night Football is tonight. The Cleveland Browns will be hosting New York Jets, looking for their first win in nearly 2 years. The Browns have yet to win a game this season, and they failed to win a single game last season. The Jets, of course, are coming in with a hot rookie quarterback. So until Saturday, this is Harv Aronson, talking sports on Harvard Avenue, and I will speak to you on Saturday evening.